This is Mae Brussel, and this is the second half of a one-hour program called World Watchers, in case you just tuned in. Is program number 767. On my broadcast, number 767 weeks ago, I talked about the death of Senator East, and I mentioned that East's last appointment in Washington was the Friday afternoon visit when he met at the Hart Building office with Judge Antonin Scalia to discuss Scalia's nomination to the Supreme Court. East, a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, would have voted on the nomination. Now, Judge Scalia is visiting with Senator East, who is under a strained mental state. He's going to commit suicide and blame a specific doctor for the reason for his mental problems and his desire not to live any longer. And Justice Rehnquist, who's being promoted to Chief Justice at the same time Scalia is getting his nomination to be on the Supreme Court, had the same doctor who was giving him drugs for a dependency upon the drugs and a hypnotic drug to boot that was not for his back, but evidently or in some way could possibly affect his mind. Now, Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah put down the health problems of William Rehnquist. He says this is the overreaction of people that want to hurt his chances. But it seems that people want a certain appointment. They don't give credit that the opposition ever has a logical reason for stating their opinion on the matter. Incidentally, the Select Committee to Study Governmental Operations with Respect to Intelligence Activities in 1976 was headed by Frank Church, and on the committee was Philip Hart of Michigan. Now, Frank Church, shortly after these hearings where he was putting the CIA in the carpet and the mind control programs and the COINTEL programs, the Operation Chaos, and all that spying activity that was happening while Rehnquist was chief advisor from 1969 to 71, whoever Frank Church's doctor was, and it'd be interesting to look at the medical records, he very shortly after that proceeded to have cancer and died of cancer. The other person on this committee who died of cancer was Philip Hart of Michigan, described as the conscience of the Senate. These two men were very decent people, and they died of cancer shortly after this. Along with that, Hubert Humphrey, presidential candidate that knew all the ins and outs of Washington, D.C., died of cancer. Adlai Stevenson was poisoned by the CIA. And, of course, Leo Ryan of the CIA, who had a bill controlling activities of the CIA, was shot down in Guyana, part of the Jonestown CIA operation. And four peacekeepers of the United Nations were killed, Dag Hammarskjöld in an airplane crash, Ralph Bunche flying out a window in New York City, similar to Mr. Olson with his CIA drugs, Olof Palme, who was murdered in Sweden, and that isn't solved yet, but is linked to the DINA, to our CIA, and the intelligence operations we put into power in Chile, and Adlai Stevenson, who was poisoned. So four peacekeepers from the UN have died. But thinking of the doctor in Washington, D.C., or the doctors that take care of Congress, and I wonder about Stevenson's cancer, not Stevenson, but Humphrey, Hubert Humphrey cancer, and the cancer of Philip Hart, and also of Frank Church, who were the most active people on the Senate Committee to Study Governmental Operations. Now, the new book came out just recently, it's not new, Secret Agenda. It's written by Jim Hogan. It's about Watergate, published by Random House, 1984. And I'm going to refer to that book quite a bit because of the Lewis Tackwood allegations and the role of Rehnquist in this whole milieu of the martial law plan. But in this book, on page 264, they're describing the activities after the Watergate story and the process of covering it up. And they he describes Robert Bennett's office. Robert Bennett ran Mullen Company across the street from the White House. Robert Bennett was Howard Hunt's boss at Mullen and Company. On July the 10th, less than 1 month after the Watergate arrest, and this is very important, they arrested in June. On July 10th, less than a month after the Watergate arrest, Robert Bennett met with the CIA case officer, Martin Lukosky, in a downtown Washington cafeteria. At that meeting, memorialized by Lukosky in a handwritten memorandum of such sensitivity that he hand-carried it to CIA Director Richard Helms, formerly the OSS with William Casey and William Donovan, Bennett bragged that he had dissuaded the reporters from the Washington Post and the Washington Star from pursuing a 7 days in May scenario, implicating the CIA in a Watergate conspiracy. And it said Mr. Bennett related he had now established a backdoor entry to Edward Bennett Williams' law office, the firm representing the Democratic Party. And, of course, that law office represented John Hinckley when he shot Ronald Reagan in front of the Hilton Hotel in Washington. But to get back to this, they dissuaded the 7 day in May scenario 1 month after the Watergate arrest. And I was writing, why was Martha Mitchell kidnapped, starting in June and had finished it by the end of July. It took about 6 weeks to write. It was about the 7 day in May plan, the Hunt and McCord, White and Martin, the Lewis Tacwood allegations, and Mr. Jim Hogan, who wrote Spooks, refers to the way that story was killed. So if the story was killed, then it had to exist. You can't kill something that didn't exist. And the 7 days in May scenario existed. Now, in Washington, D.C., with the judiciary, there was a little conflict over subpoenaing papers of William Rehnquist, and that was passed over very quickly. It remains whether the full House or Senate that vote on Rehnquist, how many will vote, I hope all of them do when they get back, will pay attention to these papers. The New York Times had a story, clash in Capitol on Rehnquist data reported growing. Then another article, Washington Post, August the 7th, Rehnquist not in danger over papers. Senator Mathias finds nothing dramatic. Now, Senator Mathias is from Maryland. Senator Mathias is the senator who coaxed the government and Richard Nixon to give Fort Detrick, Maryland, the Fort Detrick laboratories, where chemical biological warfare was created in those labs, turned it over to Litton Industries, part of the intelligence community, and that is where the virus AIDS was created. For all practical purposes, there hasn't been any other origin greater than the AIDS virus created at Fort Detrick, described in a higher form of killing. I've had it on other broadcasts. The Washington Post had a long article, Democrats seek to subpoena papers. Now, whether they will or won't is very important to the future of this United States, and I mean that very seriously. They should subpoena those papers. They have to do with memorandum that correspondence and other material that Rehnquist received, prepared, initialed, or had his staff prepare at the Justice Department. Documents such as civil rights, civil liberties, executive privilege, national security, domestic surveillance, anti-war demonstrations, wiretapping, leak investigations, and the May 1970 killing of Kent State. Incidentally, the memorial that I described on one program that they were going to put at Kent State, I read last week, was turned down because the families wanted the names of the four students killed etched into there, similar to the Vietnam Memorial. So that was turned down, and they're getting a new architect and start all over because they don't want those four people remembered. That was in the news this week. The New York Times, August the 8th, has a story indexed to unreleased department documents, and it has memos of civil emergency, and these are the Rehnquist papers they're asking for. One is the Laird versus Tatum, March 25th, 1969, to the Attorney General, having to do with civil emergency, planning and coordinating emergency suggestions for federal troops by the president. Another is December the 14th, 1970, a memo to Mr. Kleindienst, proposed Department of Defense relating to civil disturbances, and this has to do with General Exton, and a letter and directives about federal troops to come and control civil disturbances, and that leads up to the Lewis Tacwood allegations, which take place a year later when Squad 19 was formed, of course. Another section they want on reform of the classification system of leaks. July 24, 1969, memos from the Internal Security Division how to transmit unclassified strategic information. Unclassified, it's already a secret. How to amend the espionage laws to allow President Nixon to reclassify information as vital to national security Remember, that's how he tried to hold up the Watergate papers and prevent its release. The broad language would be made even broader to lock up a lot of these memos. July 8, 1971, a memo to John Dean, Interdepartmental Security Committee. The memo discusses executive orders dealing with access to classified information, and this has to do with locking up information preceding the martial law plan that was being set for 1971 at home in the United States that Tackwood talked about. The committee, Washington Post says the committee wants the August 26, 1971 letter to John Mitchell from Senator Kennedy. The letter confirms a request to investigate why there was no grand jury called for the Kent State killings, and it goes into judicial nominations. And the Washington Post article is long. I'll read it to you maybe on another program and outline it for you, but that's the gist of what should be in the hands of people before they vote. And remember, the Senate or the House has as much, particularly the Senate, as much right to decide on a justice as the press in the United States. Now, I want to just share with you from the Watergate hearing some very important material before the time runs out, and I can get back to some of the Rehnquist stories later. William Rehnquist is mentioned three times in the index of the Watergate hearings. The first time is in Volume 2, Book 2, Hearings Before the Select Committee on Presidential Campaign Activities of the United States Senate, 93rd Congress. And this is Book 2 of the Watergate hearings from the U.S. Government Printing Office, printed in 1973. The hearings were taking place in 1973. The question came in about spying on Senator Muskie. You remember Ed Muskie was given LSD and drugged and made to appear incoherent by the Watergate team so that he wouldn't be a candidate against Richard Nixon. But there was something else going on. Lowell Weicker said, which senator is this? Because they're referring to their various spying. Senator Muskie, he could be used as a great front to go to California and hold tax hearings, and it would be a great event for Muskie running against Richard Nixon. So Mr. Magruder, Jeb Magruder, who is now a minister, sent copies of what Senator Muskie was going to do to print in Evans and Novak. That's the Robert Novak of Crossfire, and also talk programs on Sunday. He saturates the air, as does Mr. Evans. Miss Duncan, their secretary, typed up what Ed Muskie was going to do in California with tax matters and gave it to Evans and Novak, and they printed it. All right, Weicker said, Lowell Weicker said. And there were other documents or instances where Miss Duncan performed services relative to Mr. Porter. Yes, sir, Miss Duncan, on one occasion, she took Senator Muskie's speech he was going to deliver to the Senate against the nomination of William Rehnquist to the Supreme Court. It was on film, and specifically it was 20 pages, and I asked Jeb Magruder what he wanted me to do with it. And he said, let me check, and he checked, and he got back to me, and he said, Mr. Mitchell would like it. Now, William Rehnquist was the legal advisor for the Justice Department over John Mitchell. And what they wanted from Ed Muskie was the 20 pages against William Rehnquist when he was nominated to be a judge, not the justice of the Supreme Court. I would like you to write to members of the Senate and the House, Senator Metzenbaum, Senator Biden, anybody who's listening, move your pen and get active, get off your butt, just like I went out on a limb and fought AGS out there in Monterey. And we'll read to you again what I handed out at that hearing and how it affected, I believe, was the turning point of their scamming out of town and not wanting to come back. But what I'm saying is write and ask, and write to Senator Muskie, Senator Biden, Senator Metzenbaum. Before he is confirmed as the Chief Justice, we want the 20-page reason why Rehnquist shouldn't be a justice and why John Mitchell, the Attorney General, had photocopied this paper, and then they began the harassing of Ed Muskie and gave him LSD to make him appear incoherent. Now, this same testimony in Volume 2 of the hearings, the secretary said it had to be completely typed, and she read it. Senator Lowell Weicker said, you know, I'm supposed that you did go through this whole thing and read it. And it was put into an IBM dictaphone, and Miss Duncan typed it. And Weicker said, Miss Duncan is now your secretary. That's Mr. Porter testifying. Yes, sir. At any time, did you send Ms. Duncan to the White House to give Gordon Strom copies of the photographed documents of transcripts of why Muskie should not be on the Supreme Court? I don't remember whether I did or not. I don't remember. It's possible I did. If I did, it would have been because Mr. Magruder would have said this and wanted a copy, and Gordon Strom. And it went over to the hands of the Attorney General, John Mitchell. As I say, William Rehnquist was the person mentioned in the papers. Mr. Porter said, I will tell it as I remember. Let me say this. If Ms. Duncan says that's what happened, it did happen. I don't want to dispute what she said. On the other hand, the reason I would also send a document to Strom would be Magruder's suggestion. I believe there was a copy of the Rehnquist speech put together, 20 pages, on why William Rehnquist should not be Justice of the Supreme Court, and that also appeared. It was sent to Evans and Novak that he wrote this speech. Weicker, you realize at the time that these documents were obtained illegally, that it was illegal to take them. And he confirms, well, he didn't think it was illegal, but they were intercepting the mail. That's a violation of the law. I knew the intercepting of mail would be a violation. I put the photographing of the documents in the same category. It was surreptitious, yes, sir, and so forth. And the volume two goes into taking the papers and photographing them of what reasons Muskie had against Rehnquist. Now, book 11 of the same series, the Watergate hearings, volume 11, book 11, hearings before the Select Committee on the Presidential Campaign Activities, they pursued this some more. And I'm going to read the two pages that refer to Muskie and then the milieu under which William Rehnquist was working. And that material I had on the air once before, but not in the context that the legal advisor for John Mitchell would soon be Justice of the Supreme Court. Now, in Volume 11, the subject comes up again, and a Mr. Buckley is testifying. He's from the FBI. He's doing these dirty tricks. He works for government offices. I'll read you his background and testimony. And he is one of the masters of dirty tricks, even though he is a federal agent of the Federal Bureau of Investigations. Now, Mr. Edmondson is asking a question. Mr. Buckley, let's go back to these boxes that you received from Mr. Wyatt. These are letters. You saw these releases? Yes, you saw the drafts of letters. Buckley says they were not signed. They were not stamped. And Edmondson said, well, it could have been a draft, a letter prepared waiting for Senator Muskie's signature. It is possible. Did you see letters coming to Muskie from contributors? No. Did you see drafts of his speeches? There were drafts that could conceivably be speeches or position papers. Well, you read them, didn't you? That was your purpose. I glanced through them. How did you know? What were you giving them if you didn't read it? I did say I glanced through them if it pertained to his itinerary, his position on an issue that I considered an issue to be relevant. I photographed it. That was your criteria? In other words, you had to read every document in the box to choose. I would not be argumentative, he said. I would take a glance. Have you come up with any evidence of material that ever appeared in newspapers that you have collected that had to do with his particular leaks on what these people were going to say? He said, the only situation I respond to is that it was publicized that a Senator Muskie memo was forwarded to Evans and Novak and put in their column. I don't recall seeing the memo, but I recall the instance in late 1971, and he tells about that how the memo that he had was passed on. That was the tax matter. Edmondson said, well, now, do you ever recall looking at any paper prepared by Senator Muskie relating to the nomination of William Rehnquist? Yes, sir. I recall that draft. It was a draft. It was double-spaced. You photographed it, didn't you? I photographed it. Now, Mr. Buckley, you are an experienced man. You worked for the government a long time. I'm sure you're familiar with the Hatch Act, are you not? I'm familiar with it. Did you read it before engaging in the activity? I have read it. It was my feeling that the Hatch Act spells out activities which are prohibited and activities that are permitted. And in this area, I didn't feel the Hatch Act applied. Edmondson recalled to him, he said, it is unlawful for any person employed in an administrative position in the United States or by any department or independent agency in the United States to use his official authority for the purpose of interfering or affecting the election or nomination of a candidate. And he said, I emphasize the word affecting. And Buckley said, affected or interfered with, whatever interpretation you make. And Edmondson said, if you look back over your activities, Mr. Buckley, do you think your activities were a waste of time? He said, I didn't hear your question. Were your activities, for the purpose you began, did they not affect the campaign of Muskie? And he said, not as far as I'm concerned, in terms of his not getting the nomination. If we were successful, I would not have felt the time was wasted if he had won the nomination. But the point is that Ed Muskie was not, he was given the acid. I don't know if any other person running against Richard Nixon was given the LSD. But the point was that he was given that, and following him was not just so much being a candidate, but that he didn't want Rehnquist nominated, and Rehnquist's name comes into the picture. Now, the material that precedes that, leading up to the Muskie papers on Rehnquist, has to do with, the hearings of the committee in questioning Mr. Buckley and his activities in spying in Washington, D.C., and carrying on. This is, as I say, from it's called the Foreign and Military Intelligence Final Report of the Select Committee to Study Governmental Operations. And this, again, this area goes into the people that were working to spy and administer the LSD that Muskie got. In this particular book, this separate document from the Watergate hearings, these are the military intelligence, which again involves Squad 19 and the Defense Department. This volume tells you on page 401 on the use of LSD and local physicians to force hallucinations, that the CIA project involves surreptitious administration of LSD, that they could affect human behavior and test human behavior so that doctors couldn't diagnose it, and they could get them to appear not sensible or medically dangerous. The LSD was potentially dangerous, but the purpose of it was to affect their behavior. On page 406, it tells about the agencies administering LSD to unwitting non-volunteer human subjects in coordination with the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs, the same activities, agencies that the president wants to use now with the military going into countries to stop their drug production. And the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs was administering LSD to people like Edmund Muskie, Senator Ed Muskie, who not only didn't run for president against Richard Nixon because his behavior was seeming to be so irresponsible, and he actually had been given this LSD that the CIA had made, but he also had information on Rehnquist, William Rehnquist, and it's very important that we see it now. Now, a few years ago, I had some of these characters. I described the people that were working in this milieu on the air, but in the context of the spying on Muskie because of Rehnquist, I'm just going to read again a few sections of the Senate committee investigating Watergate that had to do with Robert Bentz, one of the witnesses. And I'll quickly just run down part of it, and some of you will remember, because Mr. Bentz worked with Mr. Buckley, and they were protecting William Rehnquist from not having to be exposed by a speech by a particular senator. I don't know why Muskie was the only one, evidently, who was opposing him. Maybe others were, and we don't know what happened to them. Mr. Robert Bentz was questioned before the committee. This is page 4403. Of the Senate Watergate hearings, and Senator Sam Ervin was the chairman in charge of that. Mr. Bentz said he's a DOC superintendent. He had political experience prior to the elections in 72. He was president of the Young Republicans. He worked with Donald Segretti, who hired him for dirty tricks. He was hired to obtain hecklers and pickets to get people to infiltrate the campaigns, and that goes back to the Tanquin allegations. And their strategy was to concentrate on Hubert Humphrey, who died of cancer, Senator Muskie, who was given LSD and drugged, and Senator Jackson, who died at the same night that Larry McDonald was deep six. Senator Jackson died in Seattle very quietly and not under too much notice of an apparent heart attack. These hearings go on to say that Senator Muskie was one of the main recipients of their spying. They joined the Muskie camp. The Muskie people were followed wherever they went, and they continued to have field activities for Richard Nixon and dirty tricks for Donald Segretti with instructions and money, and pickets were to be at rallies where Nixon attended to make the left appear not appreciating Richard Nixon and to look like hoodlums. There were placards that said, if you love Hitler, you'll just love Wallace, A vote for Wallace is wasted, and March 14th, it said, cast your vote for Senator Edmund Muskie. Help Muskie support busing your children. And the signs were against, again, Jackson and Humphrey, both dead. Senator Frank Church, dead. Time somebody began to add up the death squads in this country. Then it tells about going to the headquarters of Senator Muskie, and one of the things they did, Mr. Bence, going to the headquarters of Muskie, was that they would get chemicals. It said they had to throw or do whatever they had to do with the chemical. Bence said, well, in one building, there was a hole in the window, which they dropped substance in the window. In another building, it was told the screen was open, the window was open, and they dropped it in. They didn't tell you they removed the screen. That is correct. What did Mr. Herring do with the other chemical? They took it to a picnic. It was a Senator Muskie picnic. They emptied the vial at the picnic. Where was the picnic held? On the grounds of Mary Help of Christians Church School. You and Donald Segretti observed the picnic, did you not? No. You were not in the area, not at that time. And it tells about the payment for flipping chemicals in windows. Getting back to the picnic where the chemical was distributed, do you recall telling the FBI who interviewed you in May of this year and you drove down to the Muskie picnic and noticed the chemical had been distributed? That is correct. Did you? Then he asked again, did you go to the picnic? I went to one picnic. I did go to the picnic area. I didn't go to the picnic, as I said before. Mr. Bence said he thought he mentioned that I might possibly be needed to travel to the conventions to join in demonstrations, that they would be hiring other people for that purpose. Part would be for the Muskie campaign. Donald Segretti was hiring them and sending them out in Miami, and the original plan was in San Diego, the martial law plan. And again, this is all under the influence and control of the Justice Department of John Mitchell, Jeb Magruder, and their superior in this case was William Rehnquist. Mr. Bence, he said, now you circulated a report that the candidate for president was guilty of homosexual activities. That is true. Are you proud of your achievement? No. And Senator Sam Ervin begins to ask the questions, how do you feel about that? Senator Talmadge, you had two subordinates. One was Mr. Duke, and I've shared this with listeners before, but it may be new for other people. Yes, that's right, Duke and Mr. Herring. Did Mr. Herring tell you that Duke was a former SS officer for Adolf Hitler's stormtroopers? Correct. Senator Talmadge, did you feel that being trained by Adolf Hitler in his stormtroopers particularly qualified him for the duties that you assigned him to? Mr. Bence, I don't know anything about training that would have trained him for this work. Senator Talmadge, were they actively similar? Didn't Hitler's Nazi stormtroopers perform similar activities to what you were engaged in Florida? I don't know, sir. You haven't read history of that period? You haven't read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, I take it? Are not the activities of Nazi stormtroopers similar? I don't recall if he ever read it, and I didn't. Senator Talmadge, well, I think they're similar. I read a good many of the falsified documents during that era and the libels and slander about the opposition. It was one of the ways, as I recall, that Adolf Hitler achieved power. Now, Robert Mardian was down in the National Archives with G. Gordon Liddy watching the pictures of Adolf Hitler and Hitler's SS Gestapo. They hired agents of the SS Gestapo to help them in Miami to create the milieu for the riots that would take place to round up all the radicals, similar to the Reichstag operation in Germany. William Rehnquist was in the Justice Department as the advisor through this period when they were setting up the martial law plan. He was there through the whole Red Squad activities, which didn't end until 1977, even during Watergate exposures of the COINTELPRO program, the Operation Chaos. He was working with Tony Lasowitz of the Red Squads, involved in some way at Chappaquiddick. We still don't know the role of who killed Mary Jo Kopechne, and I don't believe Ted Kennedy drove that car that night. There's nobody who saw him wet or can prove that he drove it, but his reasons for silence are something else we can discuss. But the point is that William Rehnquist is going to be the justice of the Supreme Court. The hearings will take place in 3 weeks, and I beg you, you don't have many chances left. There were chances that came by the way in Germany, a long way, and people did not read Mein Kampf, as I stated before. They sat on their hands. They were unable to act. William Rehnquist is a menace because he was a legal advisor through this horrendous period. And I beg you to write to the senators, write to members of the House of Representatives, send night letters, send copies of this broadcast. If you didn't tape it off the air, Write to me and you can get a copy. If you taped it, get the bibliography sheets with his information. And let's see what we can do with Rehnquist. Let's chase him out of the Chief Justice job like we chased Advanced Genetic Sciences out of Monterey County and maybe out of the potato fields up in Tulare, Northern California, and maybe off planet Earth. Maybe they won't be able to put their live bacteria on the Earth. It's the same people, the same chemical companies that put Hitler into power. So help now to do something to get Rehnquist out. And I'll do more about him next week and maybe the week after if necessary to continue what he was involved in. And don't let him be a justice of the Supreme Court. This is Mae Brussel. I'll be back with you next week. Now you write your letters and make your calls and let me know. Send me copies of those letters so I see how you do. That way we'll do our homework. Thanks a lot, and I'll be back with you next week.